Black are gold pants, 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 black podcast.
Black Heart Gold Podcast, episode 67.
Wow.
We're two-thirds of the way to 100 and two-thirds or something. That's Ben Adam Jacoby coming at you live from a soggy, dreary Des Moines, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
AJ, what's up?
Not much. The thing of it was the weather over like the last month or so was, it was really nice, but one thing it was exceedingly was, dry and windless. So all of the trees, I am going somewhere with this, all the trees had, really beautiful, orange and yellow, leaves, all the colors were out and everything like that. And then today happened, and today was windy and rainy and all that. And so like the primary, mode of precipitation today was leaves. And now they're everywhere and it's all just this brown mess wherever you look. And that's more of the fall, the autumn of Iowa that I remember. So, good times, good memories on this dreary day.
Thanks, Andy Rooney.
Your mom is Andy Rooney.
What was that?
It was just something I noticed.
It was like a weather report from my grandfather.
Yeah, and it was really good too.
Yeah. Well, now that we have that out of the way, Iowa. I didn't see the game, so I'm assuming we dispatched with ease Penn State.
Yeah, I saw the score was 13-3, so good job by our defense holding them to 3 points.
Way to go, defense. So we've now moved on to our next sacrificial lamb, Northwestern, who we have no history of trouble with.
No. I believe Iowa is on a 30-game winning streak against Northwestern. And we like to, for this reason, refer to them as just Northwestern.
Yes, indeed. And with that established, we can bring in a just blogger from Just Northwestern. A guy we really like, though, Roger Sherman. Roger, what's going on?
I'm glad I got the beautiful autumnal speech. that was really great to listen to. Wow.
It was a story about autumn. I think people will understand it and really identify with it. I'm like the Garrison Keillor of Black Heart Gold Pants now.
Yes. It's a, your folksy charm is what's always got you ahead.
Yeah. And also my beautiful deep voice once again.
Okay. Let's talk about Northwestern.
No, let's not.
Oh, let's.
I mean,
dude, the weather is beautiful. Why do we need to talk about football? Yeah.
Come on.
How is your field hockey team this year? Because I'm rededicating myself. By rededicating, I mean for the first time ever dedicating myself to following field hockey now that the football team sucks.
Well, it's not women's lacrosse season at Evanston, so, pretty much I haven't been paying attention to any sports.
Okay.
What's the difference between women's lacrosse and field hockey? Because for all I know, those are the exact same sport.
Well, Northwestern has significantly less field hockey national championships, and I think that's the only distinction. Also, one of them, the goalie has the butterfly net, and the other one, the goalie has, like, a stick, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Do either of the sports have a rouge?
Oh, a rouge?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 1 point, I believe that's Canadian women's lacrosse.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of a variant sport. It's not as popular, and, the pay is a lot less. but if you really love this sport, you'll find yourself, watching Canadian women's lacrosse, though, at, 3 in the morning on a summer evening while crying softly to yourself.
That's dedication, Holmes.
I heard they, in Canada, they spell it LACROUSSE.
Lacrosse.
I thought there was an X in there somewhere.
That's at the end of Rouge.
Ah.
Anyway.
Okay, so football. What's the status on Dan Persa?
Dan Persa's good at football. when he's not getting his Achilles bashed in by merciless Iowa defenders 8 feet away from him.
Payback's a bitch.
Yeah, I know, exactly, right? Well, I did have an Iowa fan walking back after the game last year tell me that he hopes, like, he never plays again. So that was nice.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
Well, he didn't meet that out of antipathy.
He actually said, he heard us talking about how great a win it was, and he turned around and he said, you know, I don't normally say things like this, but, you know, I hope his season's over. I hope he broke his knee. I was like, you know, oh, yeah, like, I don't normally say things like this, but I'm pro-slavery. I don't normally say things like this, but the Holocaust.
I'm not racist.
You can't just preface a really bad thing by saying, I don't normally say things like this.
Yeah.
That's not how saying things works.
Right.
But anyway, Dan Persa, he's actually looked really good. If you'll notice, he's very good at throwing footballs, and he looks as mobile as he ever did. He's a little bit more hesitant to run than he was last year because, you know, he tore his Achilles. But he's a lot better than the alternatives.
Yeah. Do you think that's his choice not to run as often or the coach's?
I think it's kind of like apparently the way he had like several setbacks over the summer, he thought he would be in shape quicker. And I get the sense that between him and the medical staff and the coaches, they're just trying to keep him out of harm's way as much as possible. He came out of the game against Illinois, even though there was after he got sacked, and it wasn't really explained why. They're just trying to be ultra precautious with him. But he does look really, really good when he's actually playing. Pause. Like he's just as good as evading, you know, defenders of the backfield. He, in fact, created some of their touchdown drives against Illinois by himself.
Now, Kane Coulter is the backup, and has seen a little bit of time this year. He also has, like, the most Northwestern name ever.
No, that's Steve Schnur, always and forever.
No.
Come on.
Kane Coulter sounds Silver Spoony more than Steve Schnur.
Really? I don't get that from him. Maybe it's because he's a black dude, but, I don't normally say things
like this, but maybe it's because he's a black dude.
Because we had a lot of Kane Coulter related discussion. You know, I prefer to think more towards the wrestler Kane, or maybe Big Daddy Kane the rapper, as opposed to Kane, you know, from Connecticut, like a guy from like Connecticut who like, you know, wears Vineyard Vines.
I would be very supportive of Kane Coulter if, before kickoff, he stood at the middle of the field, like on the 50-yard line, and like threw his arms down, and then flames shot up out of the pylons, and then Jerry the King Lawler shrieked in fear. I would enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm definitely overmatched on the WWF front. I'm an occasional dabbler because it's the greatest thing ever, but I can't keep up with Raw's Twitter. I wish I could.
Not many can.
We do bet every year. I bet on basically like, you know, like the grids for the Super Bowl. It's kind of like that, but with the Royal Rumble. Where you just have no idea which wrestlers you're going to get.
That's a good idea.
You just don't know which wrestler you're going to get, and, like, I always end up getting, like, the fucking Great Khali And like, I just remember being furious that my $5 went towards the great Kali, ended up making out with someone, and then like while he was doing that, she threw him over. And I was like, that was the worst $5 I ever spent on anything ever.
Yes. Well, it could have been worse though. I was talking at the 1997 Royal Rumble the other day, and Mil Mascaras, who's like a Mexican luchador, jumped up to the top rope and like dove off at a guy who was outside the ring, thereby taking himself out of the match.
There was someone was just like hanging on this last time. There was someone who was like not visible for like 20 minutes.
Oh, Santino.
Yeah.
Santino is a mastermind.
Yes.
Yeah, we never really
Cobra
got that
bitch to pass the time
for that either.
Yeah.
I
did that for Robert Andino when he knocked the Rensai out of the playoffs. I could not stop rapping that song.
Andino is a mastermind.
Yeah, Andino make it work.
Nicely played. What's the situation at halfback? I know that you guys don't really ever run the ball. But you seem to run the ball relatively effectively against Iowa from time to time. I know. Well, Schmidt's listed as the starter now.
We have a running back, and we use it, which is a problem because it doesn't work. Schmidt's listed as a starter, but he's basically only there to block for the quarterback and to like receive like short passes. I don't think has led the team in carries. Like a single game all season long, even though he's been the starter for most of the year. Trumpy was doing really well until he got hurt against Illinois, tore his ACL. We got a true freshman named Trayvon Green, who's been pretty decent, and everyone is a big Adonis Smith fan. There's a free Adonis campaign. But, you know, we have a tendency to, it was really bad when King Coulter was in. There was one play where we, series of downs where we needed a touchdown and we ran three straight zone reads, including one on 3rd and 8.
Yes.
And I was just sitting there like,
I remember that.
Jaw on the floor. Like, no, stop that. I really wish, you know, ideally it would be, you know, just give the ball to Dan Persa and let him create. For the past 2 years, Northwestern has insisted on, I'm trying to establish something on the ground, and it hasn't been there a lot of the time. We had some nice plays against Michigan, but you try to avoid it. Really, it's the disappointing thing is with Trumpy. You know, he really looked like he had something going, and he's out for the year. So
yeah,
I don't think Iowa needs to be overly concerned about that aspect of the game. Although. We are using King Coulter in a lot of kooky, fun ways, because he's our backup quarterback and also a great wrestler. But, you know, he's a better athlete. He's extremely fast. He had some, catches, from out in the slot, on Saturday against Michigan. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he saw some time back there too, in sort of, a very similar system to what my IM team is running, a two quarterback, in backfield. Which one will get it? Will he throw? Will he run? Sort
it's
of thing.
The A11.
Yeah, the A11. Yeah, we don't run that. Although every player is eligible in, IM football, eligible receiver, so I get some options out of there at the, backup right tackle spot. I sometimes pick up a reception here or there.
Now, I don't think I'm telling many lies here when I say that Northwestern's defense is comparatively abysmal in the Big Ten this year. Total defense, dead last, 11th in rushing defense and 11th in pass efficiency defense. Those are not good numbers. What's the deal?
I don't believe in numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
What's
the
your gut telling
about the scoreboard, which is also pretty unfortunate because we lost four games and we won. But, you know, record is also another number I try not to look at.
Except against Iowa.
Also attendance. I don't look at that either.
You guys sold a lot of tickets to Michigan fans for the Michigan game.
You guys also sold a lot of tickets to a monster truck rally next week. I don't know.
Monster trucks in Northwestern? I don't think that's a thing.
Evanston loves monster trucks.
Is this, Mr. Sherman, is this true? Is this fact?
Nothing says Evanston like the Truckosaurus, you know. But you can tell, you know, like, for all the stereotypes about Northwestern, you know, we're all nerds, we all love monster truck rallies, they're all true.
They're all true.
No, but seriously, what's
the defense? What's your defense? What's the deal?
Wait, with what? Monster trucks? No, seriously, I lost the thread of conversation a while ago.
What's up with the defense?
Oh, the defense is like, well, we just went up against Nathan Shielhouse and Denard Robinson.
Yeah.
Who are what are the words that come to mind?
Do running thing.
Running fast, but not necessarily great at throwing. And they both torched us. We got 3 picks against Robinson, but he also completed some like 50-yard passes where our defenders just looked, you know, silly. Against Illinois, AJ Jenkins there was no one within 30 yards of him on some plays. Just huge defensive breakdowns. I do believe what the team says, that like most of the things that have gone wrong are literally just individual breakdowns. Like someone's not in the right spot, the safety. There's been a lot of our safety, Ibrahim Campbell, and our second quarterback, Jervin Matthews, have just been out of position. And every week they say, you know, that we're going to fix that, and every week they don't. We've actually looked pretty good against the running game, with the exception of Army and the triple option. You know, you can tell Army's a great team because, you know, they manhandled us. And, you know, then when you can beat Northwestern, you throw out the things like losses to Miami of Ohio and Ball State.
Right. All you need is, did you beat Northwestern? Now here's the thing though about blaming the breakdowns in the secondary on like individual breakdowns. Like on one hand, yeah, if you leave your cornerback, especially if it's a backup cornerback, one-on-one with AJ Jenkins and Jenkins gets open, even though you've sort of, told your guy, hey, just be in man against this guy. I mean, technically that would be an individual breakdown, but at the same time,
no,
why
it
on
wasn't
earth?
That.
Oh, okay.
It was a situation of, on I think 2 catches that went for touchdowns, Coach Fitz acknowledged that, like in Monday press conference, like there was supposed to be safety help, and the safety was not helping.
Oh,
against Michigan, it was different because there were plays where Matthews and Campbell were one-on-one with receivers downfield and just misplayed the ball, and you know, the receiver was open and, you know, made the catch, but in that case, yes, you're right, that was what happened on those plays. Mm-hmm. It was just our guy getting outmatched, but on other plays, and it was kind of consistent all season long, because the same thing, it happened once against Boston College, once against Eastern Illinois, you know, the vaunted Panthers attack, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're thinking, okay, they got it out of the way. And then you see it happen twice against AJ Jenkins for touchdowns. What scares me is in the Monday presser, Coach Fitzgerald said, you know, yeah, you know, Marvin McNutt's basically just like AJ Jenkins, except he's bigger. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, he's still like, playing it. Come on.
What?
Marvin McNutt is not just like AJ Jenkins. And I love Marvin McNutt this year, but come on.
He said that. Those were his words.
I know. And Lou Holtz always said that Notre Dame was about to lose when he was the coach there. I think Fitzgerald's having a little fun with you.
If that's true, though, he'll have at least 400 receiving yards on Saturday. But, you know, Then again, I saw the score of the game last week, so hey, there's that.
There is that.
Did have you on my podcast, I was going to ask you to describe your team's offense in as many words as they had points scored, but I didn't get the opportunity.
You mean like for the season or for just like?
No, just like as a summary.
That's like I could do. That's like haiku.
Oh, okay. Here I can do it. Here we go. Out route incomplete.
That's the three words.
I had a bad joke prepared about how I made the same deal with the Michigan guy the week before, and he used 59 words instead of 58. I plan out my jokes ahead of time.
I would say Marcus Coker. No, that's too many words.
Marcus
Coker hobbled. There we go. All
right. These are actually pretty beautiful. Almost as beautiful as the thumbnail description earlier.
Okay. Now there are a lot of guys on your team that have last names that I recognize. And I know how you like names, so I'm going to ask you if these players are related to famous people. Wide receiver Demetrius Fields, is he any relation to former halfback RB Fields?
They are not related, as far as I can tell.
What?
I believe, no, they're not related from different parts of the world. Well, the U.S. I believe one's from Texas, the other California. I can't think of any other Fields to compare them to.
Sally Nixon, Field?
Landry.
Landry Fields.
New York thing. Yeah. No.
WC?
Yeah.
WC Fields. Sally Fields.
Okay.
That defensive tackle, Jack DiNardo, is he related to former Indiana coach and current Big Ten Network personality, Jerry DiNardo?
Yes. He's his nephew.
Yes!
Awesome!
No, there's not just like hordes of DiNardos out there. I think I was really excited to see if he got a sack on Denard Robinson. Another thing we like talking about on the site is what would happen if certain players got gay married to other players. I think one of the best. I've been doing it for years. For example. Like on the Heat, they had James Jones and LeBron James, and I was just like, hey, that's sound, and, the Knicks have, Anthony Carter and Carmelo Anthony, but I think Denard DiNardo would be one of the best.
I think so.
I've been making this joke literally since, like, probably, like, 10th grade, and it never gets old.
Alright, let's look at, defensive end Tyler Scott, is he related to former Dunder Mifflin branch manager Michael Scott?
I kind of saw where you were going after the Dunder Mifflin. Who was the guy who used to read out old people's birthdays on like the Today Show? Does anyone remember this?
Willard Scott.
Willard, yeah, that's what I was going for.
Willard,
I like that. Okay, I'm going to say that's a no. Wide receiver Jeremy Ebert, any relation to Roger?
Not that I know of.
Oh, damn.
Or Roper, for that matter.
I just thought of something. What if Willard Scott, the jolly weatherman, got gay married to former Iowa power forward Russ Millard? He would be Willard Millard.
Is Marcus Coker related to either Larry Coker or Dwight Gooden?
He actually fell right out of Daryl Strawberry's nose.
Actually, both. He's the love child of the two of them.
I did not know that was a... wow.
Melissa Etheridge was also involved somehow.
if you see Coker run in a straight line, you'll see where the Larry Coker comes in.
Ah.
Freshman backup linebacker Chichi Araguazo. Araguzo?
Araguzo.
Is he related to Chichi Rodriguez?
I'm not sure if he's related to Chichi or Cheech Marin, but I do enjoy saying his name to the beat of Teach Me How to Dougie.
Chichi Araguzo.
Chichi Araguzo.
my bitch.
I kind of have like a really bad, because earlier in the year was Teach Me How to Trumpy, and then he got hurt. And that all they have left is CT Arguzzo in the Cali Swag District Department.
All right. Speaking of names, have you had any nominees for the Name of the Year contest to run yet?
I have not actually looked at the Iowa roster for Name of the Week this week. Last year, I think Marvin McNutt won in a landslide.
Mm-hmm. We've got some really good porn names for you. I mean, we've got McNutt, we've got Shane DeBona.
Oh yeah, DeBona always makes it on there.
Right,
DeBona,
Tom Nardo.
Actually, I think last year he was an honorable mention. DeBona.
Yes.
Last year, oh my God, Margaret McNutt ran away with the competition last year. I'm a big LeBron Daniel fan, but. I need to go to the Iowa roster right now to kind of peruse it more. I haven't had time to do it yet this week. Are there any new additions in the name department? Because, you know, the thing about it is you do it every year.
Right.
You kind of get familiar.
You're going to get some overlap, certainly. I don't know if there's anybody who can really hang with McNutt or with DeNardo.
Guys, Melvin Spears?
That's not bad.
It's a porn name, is it not?
I also like Broderick Bins.
Broderick Bins is a good name.
I believe I called him I believe what I wrote a few years ago was that he sounds like the first African American hobbit. That I don't read Lord of the Rings, so I don't know if there actually is one in the books. Or if they specify, like, which hobbits or which races, it would seem like kind of a weird thing for J.R.R. Tolkien to kind of just throw in there. But
well, I don't think that he was worried about, like, demographics and merchandising at that point. Like, I'm going to have to pander to the blacks.
Boy, this is definitely, like, the most racist potential podcast we've done in a while.
What? It's marketing 101. You have to pander to minorities.
All right.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I think it happened last year, too. I feel like I should, like, go on the record as saying that I'm...
You don't usually say things like this.
I don't usually say things like this. I'm a half-Cuban Jew, so I'm like, my ethnicity makes so little sense that I kind of have free reign to kind of mock... other ethnicities. It's in the rule book.
So
don't look it up.
I have a question. Are you allowed to eat Cuban sandwiches?
Interestingly enough, hypothetically no, but
in
one
practice,
of the things I've learned about Cuban Jews, or as they prefer to be called, Jubans. Is that, like, they could not be less, like, strict with religious, like laws. I have been cooked like a roast pig, like, by my grandmother.
Well, that's
Jewish.
That's reassuring, because I think Cuban sandwiches are awesome. So
Cuban sandwiches are also not Cuban. They don't eat that. It's not like if you go to Havana, there's not just people eating Cuban sandwiches everywhere.
Well, obviously they wouldn't call it a Cuban sandwich there. They'd call it a sandwich.
No, it's not like a thing that they eat.
They call it
Cubans,
it's loaf sandwich, please.
Cubans eat a lot of pork, so they call it a
L sandwich.
Cubans eat a lot of pork, so like someone made like a Cuban sandwich and was like, this reminds me of Cuban people who eat pork a lot.
Hmm.
Am I getting through?
I think so. There is one name.
That's also disappointing me.
There is one name that you should probably consider for this year. He's out injured now, but he was the backup halfback on week one. True freshman, Mikhail McCall.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that just now.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit disappointed with, did Paki O'Meara graduate?
Paki O'Meara finally graduated after 7 years in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Never getting a scholarship the whole time.
Wow.
And there are no Pocky bombs left to be dropped.
Oh, wow. Mikhail McCall.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm really glad.
Plus, there's an apostrophe in it.
Wow, that's what the wow was about. I wish people could hear, could witness, my reaction to names, because, it's pretty much like this. It's extremely exciting to me.
Also, Jake Doozy, I like. Just because it sounds it's a little bit dirty.
It's a doozy of a name.
Yeah.
My sleeper pick is still, once again, for the third straight year, my sleeper pick is Colin Sleeper.
MGO.
Tanner Miller? That neither of those are real names.
No, Tanner Miller is a Northwestern name, if I ever heard one.
Yeah, seriously. That kid should get a transfer application.
All right, I know you haven't
Blake
listed Pulaska it yet.
Related to
yes,
Adam?
He actually is. He's his younger brother. I know you haven't gotten around to it on the site yet, and doesn't usually go up till Friday. But do you have any preview of where we are on the Fitz intensity meter for this week?
Well, the Fitz intensity meter never goes down after a loss. Well, that's the first thing. So we were at 7.7 last week. So it has to go up statistically. Also, he hates Iowa and won't admit it.
Right.
And it's he very clearly just doesn't like your state or school.
Right.
We
kept him out of the Rose Bowl. I understand it. It makes all the sense in the world.
It explains why he keeps injuring Iowa players. It's revenge.
Right.
That's
Rose Bowl.
That's not his fault. That's the potato's fault.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you can't blame him for what the potato does.
He could try to stop the potato, though. He really could.
Hypothetically. But now this is crazy.
You can't stop the potato. You can only hope to contain it.
Or mash it.
So, Roger, what's your prediction for the week?
Well, yikes. It's tough to say because I'll give you an exact prediction. Northwestern's going to go up by like 13 points and we're going to lose.
Wow.
It's not even the opposite
of every game that we've played in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but it's the exact replica of every game Northwestern has played besides those games against Iowa.
Yeah. I think Northwestern, since they're also classically trained in literature, I assume that's part of the football curriculum. They are primarily interested in providing a complex story arc for the game. So you can't just go up by 14 points and then win by 30.
That's actually true.
Right.
If you think about all the Iowa games from the past 5 years, they're all like classical Greek tragedies of some sort or another.
Exactly.
Like you lead a game-winning drive. On the last play of the game, you throw a touchdown and also get a season-ending injury.
Yes, you're right. What else would we expect from a team that had a Kafka playing quarterback?
Yeah, you clearly are the better team, but also turn the ball over 5 times and the other team doesn't have any turnovers. These are not things that actually happen in football games. So this is really my only explanation.
Right.
Thing is, I think that with Penn State, beating you guys, I think we had sort of dueling death grips against other teams. You guys had Penn State and we had you, and I think that now something has gone karmatically wrong and we don't have a chance.
It's an interesting insight. One last question for me. How are Pat Ward's nuts?
Oh, very compacted.
That was terrible. That was the worst thing I've seen in a long time, and I keep watching it over and over again on the site.
I think that GIF, how do you pronounce that word?
I say GIF.
I say GIF too.
I think it's a soft G.
Pat gives it a long I, because he likes to do that with acronyms. He pronounces it GIF.
LOL.
Yeah. It's LOL. Everybody knows it's LOL. Everybody.
I believe Marcia Fornication said otherwise.
The first poll proved me right.
All right. Anyway. Forget about that.
The GIF I think it's such a great, because the best part of it, it's not just him getting kicked in the nuts for no apparent reason. And please post this all over the place on your site over the next few days, because it's great. But it's also like the referee just kind of like appears at the end of it and to throw his flag, like just from out of nowhere, which I just great.
I've placement. Seen what you've done.
I've been like watch. It's pretty hypnotizing too. You can't watch it just once.
Oh no!
As
no.
is true of any great GIF.
At least it wasn't a flashbang. That is still my favorite video of all time. Adam, you got any other questions?
I don't have any other questions.
You have a preview.
I have a prediction. I think that Northwestern is just Northwestern. I think Pat Fitzgerald is a doo-doo head. And I think that Iowa. Yeah, well. I'm the mainstream media guy. I get to use those words, and have some authority behind them. So, this mainstream media member says Pat Fitzgerald is a doo-doo head. Iowa beats just Northwestern 41-7. The demons are exercised and Iowa is the best team ever.
Can I make a suggestion? If you guys are putting music in the middle of the podcast, may I suggest the song "Doodoo Head" by Soulja Boy? It's an actual song. It's an actual song that he made, like intentionally when he was older than 8 years old.
Wow.
The chorus is, "She's a doodoo head, her mouth stank," over and over again.
That's wow.
We might use that as the new podcast theme, actually. Forget putting it in the middle. We'll just put it right up front every time from here on out.
Don't even bother
the entire podcast. Just that's
I was going to say, don't bother making people listen to us talk.
Right.
Like, just play that for 40 minutes.
I guess this is where I have to do my thing. Go ahead, Roger.
I have to say, I think the win, but it's not, despite the fact that Northwestern is 2-3 and is you know, done some pretty pathetic things defensively the past few weeks, it's not an implausible victory for Northwestern by any means.
No.
I don't think it'll happen just because, but.
This is probably about as, I don't know, as even as the game has been in a while, and yet it always seems like the underdog ends up winning it. I don't share in Jacoby's positive 41-7 assessment, but.
They're just Northwestern. What's the worst that can happen?
We'll go up by 10 and lose by 4. I'm going to go with Roger here. We'll flip the script. We'll go down early. Iowa will be down, let's say, 17-3 at the end of about three quarters, and we'll come back and win this thing 20-17.
I really wouldn't be surprised if both teams lose.
It's a definite possibility. You know, Roger, there is only one team in all of FBS football that has scored exactly as many points as they've given up. Northwestern.
Is that true?
139 scored, 139 conceded.
Wow.
Roger, thanks for being on the show.
All right, thanks for having me.